Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. Today is the Christian Life Coach, Minister Kimberly Holzak's segment called What Next? And she'll be coming on very shortly. So I'm very excited to hear from her, to see what God has in store for her to share with us today. And let me go over a couple of announcements and then we'll get right into the segment. But first, October the 19th, Elder Faye will have Bible study up for your review. This week is, this month's Bible study is about Ruth, who is still a teenager of the Bible. So this continues her Teenagers of the Bible series. So that's October the 19th at 4 p.m. Central Time. And then October the 26th at 4 p.m. Central Time, the Roots are taking over the studio with Life for C, Youth for Christ, with DJ Shaheen, our resident youth DJ, and Shining Star, our youth hostess. Okay, everyone, let me bring Minister Horvath on the line. Hello, my sister.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
I'm always excited about today's show. And before we get into it, though, I do want to let everyone know that from the bottom of our heart, we have been very blessed to have you become the associate minister for the ministry. And I just wanted to make sure that everyone out there knows that that is also your role. So congratulations and definitely thank you so much for blessing us with taking that position.
Well, thank you very much. I'm always in awe of what God does. You know, it's just amazing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, he's been talking to you. I know. I'm ready.
He has been talking to me, and I'm so excited because this is probably one of the things that I love to talk about most with regard to God, and it is about what's next. And, you know, I've been, this word was one that he had given to me last month, and It's amazing how he has just increased it, switched it, added to it. And this afternoon, as you know, I was meditating, and I, you know, went for a walk, and all because all this morning he was just talking to me, and he just gave me some more, gave me a way to just compact it and give it to the people. So I'm ready if you're ready.
I'm ready. Yes, you have the floor.
All right. I hope that everyone else is ready. Good evening, good afternoon, everybody. I'm so excited. I was thinking about people in general and their relationships with people, their relationships with God, their relationships at work, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I have been taking the bus back and forth to work. You know, there was one period of time, and I was walking. So when you're walking, you're by yourself. You know, you're really only experiencing yourself, right?
Right.
So when you are taking the bus, it's a whole different story because you get to be side by side with people. You see their faces. You're hearing their conversations, whether they're on the phone or talking to someone that's with them. Like, you see what's going on. And, you know, I often wonder about people's relationships with people, with God, you know, how that relationship with God manifests in your life, all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that I know that there are a whole lot of people in the world that are frustrated, angry, and confused, and I come in contact with them every day. and I think that we all do. And there are a lot of people in the world that are just plain old stuck. And as a result of being stuck, they're frustrated, angry, and confused.
Right.
Interesting to me because, you know, God is not a God that is stuck. He's not a God that is, you know, we say that, you know, he is the same yesterday, today, forever. But for us, he's ever changing because we're getting to know him. We don't know him in his fullness. And so he's always revealing himself to us, even though he himself isn't any different than what he's ever been. He's revealing himself to us.
Yes.
So, I think to us, you know, we we our approach often in life is that we want to get to this perceived safe place, you know. It's the place where we can finally take a deep breath and live, you know, until life throws that next curveball. We're trying to get to that place where, you know, things are financially at least settled. You know, you may not have all the money that you need, but you, or that you want, but you're in a peaceful place financially. There's no illnesses, no sicknesses. There's no craziness going on in your life. And you just are able to come home and sit down and just take a deep breath and exhale and know that it's okay. And when you have a couple of days like that, some people think that, you know what, this is the way life is supposed to be. Just like this, I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm not going to do anything more, and I'm not going to do anything less. I'm going to wait until the winds of life come by and try to blow me over, and I'll deal with that and try to get back to this place. So the challenge of that, you know, is we think that, you know, the curveball is going to hit us, is miss us, you know, if we keep our heads down. But that's a challenge because in order to fully embrace the life that God has in mind, the one that Jesus came and died for, we have to be willing to continually adapt to change and to flow with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You know, people, you know, they again, it's like, you know, God is the same all the time. Yeah, he is the same, but you don't know him like that.
No.
You know, if we're going to adapt to God's character, then you really need to kind of look at God's character. Remember, we are made in his image. So I'm gonna take you through something, but all the while in the back of your mind, I want everyone to remember that we are made in God's image, meaning we are made like him, to be like him, okay? So if you were to take a step back, like outside, and look at the Old Testament just as a book in general, I don't care if you believe it or you don't believe it, if you're just looking at it, and you look at God, you first have to recognize that his personality is so massive that he can't just express himself to people all at one time. That slowly over each chapter of the Bible, he continually reveals himself to man. And each time he does, he reveals a piece of his character, and that character causes us to recognize him by yet another name. And that name gives us a clue as to what is being revealed to us.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's what I want you to think about as we go through today's lesson. If that is the true character and spirit of God, that it is so massive that he has to slowly reveal himself over time, allowing us to call him another name every time he reveals himself because he has expressed himself anew to us. Understanding that he created us, not that we created us, but he created us and made us in his image, then I say, what if the same thing is true of man? That there is so much to each one of us that if we just keep moving forward with God, we will get to know more and more and more about ourselves. And I say to you, what's next? You know, you are alive to this very place in your life. So what's next? When we look at some of the names of the Bible that we have given to God, you know, El Shaddai, Adonai, Yahweh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, you know, there are so many different names of the in the Bible that we have given to God. And every time it is because he has revealed himself. He's our protector. He's our master. He's our shepherd. He's our banner of victory. He's our righteousness. He's the one who sanctifies us. My God, every single time, he's just, it's just greatness and greatness and greatness, and it's mercy and mercy and mercy, and it's power and it's power and it's power. I mean, it is true. Like, if you really take the time to let each name just sweep over you, it is overwhelming. Because you can't just do it and just say it as a name. Because you have to recognize that if he's revealing himself to you, it means he is offering that piece of himself to you. So what is he offering? He's offering that he is your Lord Almighty. He's offering that he is the Most High God. He's offering that he's going to be your shepherd and take care of you. He's offering that he is your healer, there to heal everything. He's offering that he is present in every situation. He's offering that he is your provider for all things that you need. He's offering that he is your peace. He's just offering and offering and offering and showing you more and more and more about who he is. And the more you take in about his greatness and his love for you, the more you begin to recognize yourself. I say to you, what next? When we look at Jesus, okay, Jesus came to be an example, right?
Right.
He's an example. He came as the Messiah. We understand that part. The part I want people to grasp right now is that he came as a human being who had to come into the knowledge of who he was.
Right.
And when you look at his life in the Bible, the same is true of him. That as he grew and as he expressed himself towards people, each time he's given another name.
Right.
Each time. And he grows greater and greater. So we call him things like the bread of life. We say that he's the author and finisher of our faith. We call him teacher. We call him master. We call him redeemer. We call him the King of Kings. We call him the Prince of Peace. We call him our Savior. We call him the Lord of Lords. We call him the Messiah. We call him all of these things. And in all of these things, he is offering yet another vision of who he is as he lived his life and did what God told him to do. And he became one that began to know himself more and more and more.
Amazing. We have a phone call.
Okay.
And I'm going to interrupt you for a moment. Let's go to the line.
Absolutely.
All right. 219-577, you're on the air. Hello. Hello? Okay, Ms. Hovind, this is somebody we know who's listening live.
Okay.
They're listening live. And let me tell you something. You were on fire. You were on fire. You know, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're talking about preaching the truth. Continue. Please.
Yes. It's important for people to understand because it's very easy for us to look now in retrospect and recognize Jesus for who he is, for those of us who are believers. Let me say it like that. It's easy for us to recognize who he is because we recognize his sonship. We recognize his deity. We recognize him as the Son of God. But we don't often really grasp the fact that he was a human being living a human experience, having a human life, and he was just like we are. He was simply one who was beginning to understand his relationship with God, his oneness with God, how his spirit was God's spirit. That's why he came to know himself as God's son. It wasn't because he was looking at it the way we look at it. He was looking at it the way God looks at us. We are his sons and his daughters. And that's what Jesus was recognizing. And he began to understand the importance of the task that he had on him. And he became I want to be careful about the words I use because I don't want people to take it in the wrong way. But you know, when you begin to when you have a revelation of something that you happen to know is true, and you know, say you're trying to defend your mother's honor or your father's honor, people are saying one thing about them, but you happen to know the truth, you're going to go out there with a different kind of energy. You're going to go out there adamant about ensuring that people have an understanding, confident, even if no one else stands with you. And that is what was true about Jesus. His relationship with God was really one that he was so tight with God that he knew that he knew that he knew what he was talking about. So he had no problem going to people and saying, no, that word that you're reading, that Torah that you're reading, those scriptures that you're reading, those scrolls that you're reading, it doesn't mean that. It means this.
Yeah.
I came so that you might understand more fully what the Word of God says. And so we could stand against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those people who were learned, and they had gone and they had studied and studied and studied, and they have been taught by the people who said this is the way it was. So they were taught how to think, and Jesus said, no. I'm telling you right now, God taught me this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm letting you know that you got this thing a little bit twisted.
And then
this is
so
not
important.
What he is. This is
God taught me. God taught me this.
Exactly. And, and I want people to understand that he was able to do that with confidence because he walked in the relationship that he had developed with the Father. So what do you think that means? That all relationships are tested. He had to trust God. You know,
mm-hmm.
we look at it and we see 3 years of his life written down in a few books of the Bible. But we don't realize that he had lived for 30 years before he began preaching the word. His relationship with God has been tested.
He had
already tried God.
Mm-hmm.
He had already had God answer some things. God revealed himself to him. God had showed him some things. We don't know the intimacy of that relationship on that level. We don't know what God did and what he showed him. But he showed him enough that he was able to walk out with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for people who preach and teach the word, you understand it. Because when you study the word and you stand up on Sunday or whatever day it is that you are teaching the word, when you have spent time with God, you are excited and ready and can't wait to get there that God might work through you to deliver the word to his people. This is the experience that Jesus had, but he had it multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because I believe he spent even more time with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? I want you to understand this because as he developed his relationship with God, he became who he is. You don't become who you are without having that relationship.
Right.
And so to all of you who are listening, you have developed a relationship with God. You have developed a relationship with Christ. And some of you think that, you know what, in certain subjects, you have arrived to a place that you know it all. And God is saying to you, what's next?
What's next?
If you know it all, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
You're still living here. You're still breathing here. Do you not think that I have any more for you? What's next?
What's
Do you not think that there's any more for me to learn, to teach you? What's next?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing the things even at the point that these disciples did? Because if you're not even doing that much, there's a whole lot of next. And the Bible says that we're going to do what's in the Bible, and then we were going to do even more. So if you haven't
mm-hmm.
even accomplished what's in the Bible, you already know that there's a next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So don't get comfortable.
Yes.
Don't think that you can take a deep breath and you can sit down and chill for a few days.
No.
The question is, what's next? We have thoughts in our mind. You know, things that we want to accomplish that we haven't done. We have these little thoughts of, that would be interesting. I wonder what that's like. We have these passions that ignite us and we get frustrated. Why doesn't somebody do something about that? And God says to you, well, then what's next? What are you going to do? That's how God works, right?
Yes, it is.
Jesus held the same character as God. Remember, built, made in God's image. He was revealed every time we call him a new name. He's revealed to us. And being human, he grew into himself just like we have.
And I want to back up for a moment. I want to make sure people hear you, that he grew into these things. This is not something you wake up and all of a sudden you're like, someone told me he's my provider. So he's my provider.
Right.
And so, you know, we know a lot of stuff, but that doesn't mean it's been revealed to us through Christ. That means we have knowledge.
That's correct.
And it's different.
Right. And knowledge and faith are not the same.
No.
Knowledge and faith are not the same. You know, I was just reminded by something by the Holy Spirit. Remember the story before Jesus came out in his ministry when he went to the wedding feast with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran out of wine. And Mary looked at him and said, you need to do something about this, because running out of wine back in that day was like running out of food would be today.
You're right.
Okay. Think of
mm-hmm.
having a wedding and running out of food.
Right.
You can't do that.
No.
Okay. So she looked at him and said, You have to do something about this. And he said to her, woman, my time has not come. And she looked
mm-hmm.
at the servant and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to do that because she had a relationship with Jesus.
Exactly.
And she understood some things about him that other people did not understand.
Exactly.
There were some things that she had experienced and some things that she had seen. And she had. It wasn't just about her being his mother and hoping he might help them out. She had witnessed him doing some miraculous
mm-hmm.
things
mm-hmm.
in order for her to put him on the spot like that and say, you know what? You're going to have to use the greatness that you have right here and right now, because this is a terrible situation. And
mm-hmm.
if they were invited to this wedding, clearly they were close to whomever it was that got married.
Yeah.
I don't know who got married, but they were close enough that his mother did not want them to be embarrassed.
Exactly.
She had a relationship and an understanding of who Jesus was because of the time and the intimacy that they had spent together.
She knew him. She knew him when God revealed to her who she would be carrying, and she began to get to know him.
Yeah. But I also imagine, as he was growing, and as he began to, you know, I mean, he was 12 years old teaching in the synagogue, unheard of. You know, she had to see him studying. He had to come to her and say, Mom, blah, 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 blah. I read this
mm-hmm.
and blah, 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 blah. I mean,
mm-hmm.
she had to be amazed at what it was that he was teaching.
Right.
You know, as you grow as a child, you know, when you go to school, you learn something, you come home, you talk to your parents about it. You know
yeah.
he was talking to his mother. When
mm-hmm.
he did new things, you know he was talking to his mother. And she
yeah.
had to be one that encouraged him, because here she was, and she was pushing him, you
mm-hmm.
need to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
mm-hmm.
what parents do? They push their children. You
yeah.
need to go ahead and do this, because I know you know how to do this. This
mm-hmm.
is how, you know, I want you to understand intimacy breeds a different kind of confidence in a relationship.
Yes.
So when you develop your relationship with God, there's a different kind of confidence that comes about, as opposed to when you don't have that. Now, I would like to believe that everyone who's listening today has a relationship with God that's different than the one they had with him 10 years ago.
Amen.
Amen? So who
Amen.
Knew God to be 10 years ago? And who you knew yourself to be in God 10 years ago had better be different than who it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want to make sure you get that. So now let's move to the next part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit. So Jesus said that he was going to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. See, now Jesus, unlike God, could only be at one place at a time. But he said that he was leaving so that the Holy Spirit could come. And listen to what he said. He said that the Holy Spirit would be both with you
yes.
and the Holy Spirit would be in you.
Yes.
Okay? With
mm-hmm.
you and in you.
Mm-hmm.
I often talk to people about the difference between having the Holy Spirit in you and upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Holy Spirit in you is your indwelling. It is what you need for yourself.
Right.
Just for you. We need the Holy Spirit just to live, to be guided,
mm-hmm.
to move in
mm-hmm.
the Spirit. You can't move in the Spirit if the Spirit is not in you?
No.
Now, when the Holy Spirit is with you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that is for ministry.
What?
That is for you to give out to other people. You don't give out what's in you. You give out what's upon you.
Yes.
Okay?
Because he said the Holy Spirit is coming. Yes.
Say that again?
Yes. That said, it's very important. I'm just agreeing with you. It's very important
because what happens is a lot of people teach from the Holy Spirit that's in them, and what happens is that they deplete their own cup and they become burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what burnout comes from, because you're taking out from what you need for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give people the excess, and the excess is what's on top of you, what's rolling over, what's bubbling over, the extra.
Mm-hmm.
Because it should be an effortless work, in the sense that it shouldn't be hard, because you shouldn't be doing it. The Holy Spirit should be doing it through you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so he said that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he called the Holy Spirit the Counselor, and he called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the Holy Spirit, some of the names that we call the Holy Spirit are the Advocate, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Power, the Spirit of Glory, the Spirit of God. My gosh, you know, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Wisdom. We call the Holy Spirit many things, just like God, just like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to take you someplace else. In the Bible, you will often see that God changed people's names. He changed their names from one thing to another, because he says to them, you are no longer this, you are now that.
Yes.
Because you are no longer Abram, but you are Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
You are no longer Sarah, but you are Sarai.
Mm-hmm.
You are no longer Saul, but you are Paul.
He changes
people's names. He gives them a new revelation of who they are. Names are very important in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And names are very important even now. Because your spirit conforms to the name that you allow yourself to be called. That's why parents have to be careful what they call their children.
Yes, it's good.
Don't get mad and call your children out their name. Your children will live up to whatever name you give them. So if you call them no good, they're going to be no good. If you call them bad names, they're going to become those things, because that's all they have to live up to.
Yes.
But if you call them names of greatness, they will live up to that, because they have to live up to that, because you are a person of authority over their life. That's another whole lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are giving them a name.
Amen. Amen.
That's another whole lesson.
It continues to parallel the father and child relationship that we have with God. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
My mom, maybe 10 years ago now, she had a visitation of God, and God changed her name.
Mm.
And the title he gave her was Queen. God will not give you a name to live down to.
No.
He's going to give you a name to live up to.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
So here's the thing. You know, I don't believe that we were meant to reach a point where we are supposed to just remain the same in life. You know, like some people want to reach to this place in life where things are calm and then just live out the rest of their day. And you could do that. But I believe that there's more to life than that. You know, it's like saying that God is finished with you, that his work in you is done.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But let's go with that for a moment, because if God's work with you is done, let's say you've completed it early and you still have more time here on earth, then the question that I have is, well, has the work that you've done truly reached all of those that it's supposed to reach? Let's say that you've done what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Let's say you're not going to go to any higher level, but has it reached as far and as wide? You see, we're always looking at things from a vertical perspective, that you're like climbing a ladder, going up and up and up. But God is not just up and up. He also has a horizontal level. He goes far, and he goes wide. So has your work reached as far and as wide as it reached?
Mm-hmm.
No. I would say no. Truthfully, if I had, let's say, even $5 for every person that I met that told me that they had an idea, a dream, a thought, a hope, an unfinished work of some type. I mean, honestly, I'd be so wealthy.
Yes, you would.
You know?
Yes,
I mean,
would.
I know I have some things right now that I could say they're unfinished work, and I haven't even thought about tomorrow's work.
I know exactly what you mean. And I hope everyone out there is getting the meat of what you're saying, you know, because it elevates you to your rightful birthplace.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, to the core, you know, your rightful birthplace as God intended. There are no mistakes. You were born in the family you were supposed to be born in, to the parents that you were supposed to have. I will say to you that people fail, but God does not fail. And I can also say to you that whatever situation you were born into, God has equipped you to be able not only to make it through, but to persevere and make it over that situation or circumstance. So there's a difference between making it through and standing on top of it. Some people are just hoping to make it through. If I can just get past this. No. God says, I have equipped you that you not only are going to get through it, but you are going to overcome it. You are a world overcomer. I didn't come here for you to be below, but for you to be above.
Amen.
So there is no mistake. You were born into the right people, into the right place. The exact thing that you are going through is not a surprise to God. But he said, if you just would grab a hold of me and develop a relationship with me, not only will you make it through, I will get you over. And when you get through it, you are going to come through it without scars. You're going to come through it with a testimony, not a worry, not a concern, but you're going to have a victory that you can't even imagine. And when you come through it, you're truly going to be able to help someone else because you would have surpassed it. You would have gotten through it, and it wouldn't still be antagonizing you. You would be the victim.
Yes.
Can't help somebody if you get off drugs just because of your willpower, but you still want to beat them. How are you going to help them? You got to help yourself. But see, when you go through something with God, he breaks that spirit off of you. And now that spirit cannot come against you anymore. And now you can go back through that fire and pull someone else up. That is how God works. And the truth is that you don't even have to go back and pull them up. Because just like in the Bible, the apostles showed us, when they put the people in the street and Peter walked by, his shadow was so anointed that the shadow fell upon people and they got up and they were healed.
Hallelujah.
That is not for yesterday. That is your right now.
That's for right now.
That's right now. But I have to tell you that it doesn't come by a hope. It doesn't come by a simple prayer. It comes by a lifestyle. Life was different back then. They didn't have all of the distractions that we have. They really didn't. We have to be determined to not be distracted. We have to be determined to be in relationship with God. We have to be determined to get our time in with him. We have to be determined to say, you know what, we need to find a way to make sure that we are communicating with God every day. We have to find a way to make sure that we're reading our Bible. We have to find a way to make sure that we are feeding our minds. We have to find a way to make sure that things are not breaking us, but that we are distracted by the Spirit and not by things that are not of him. We have to find a way.
Yes, you have to find. And if you don't do anything else, If you do nothing else but find a way to find God, there's no words. There's no words to describe the feeling that you have when you come home.
Yeah,
I'm home.
True.
I'm home, okay?
That's right.
I know who
that's
my
right.
brother is. Yes, I know who my brother is who sits on his side. You know, I have to say something. You know, I deal with chronic illness, and one of the things that people always say to me is, you don't look like there's anything wrong. And I said, because I'm a child of God. And if you're a child of God and you know that, it's impossible for you to look raggedy.
Yes. Absolutely.
It doesn't happen.
That's
it
right.
doesn't happen.
That's
you
right.
know who you are.
You know
I am a child.
Are.
You know who you are. Continue, my sister. Oh, this is fire. This is all fire.
You know. There, you know, when you're in God, there's always something more. The catch of it is this. We were never meant to accomplish anything by ourselves.
Yeah.
We were meant to accomplish it with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's how we
yes.
were meant to accomplish it. Imagine having the Trinity on your side, not just
mm-hmm.
with you, but in you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you would accomplish more.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that we believe that we are not enough? Why are we satisfied with just so little when God has so much more? I don't care if you're 20, 30, 50, 80. The question is, what next? I don't care how long you've been walking with God. The question
mm-hmm.
is, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. You might say, well, I just got a revelation last week. And I say, okay, well, then what's next? Because you get a revelation for a reason. You get a revelation, you utilize that revelation in your life, and then it's time for the next revelation. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Now, here's something I'm going to say. You know, I say the question to what's next is ask yourself this. You know, what's next in your relationship with God? What's next for you? You know, what's next in your revelation and your discovery of yourself? You know, I believe it was Marianne Wilson in one of her books, she said that the thing that we are most afraid of is how great we are.
Mm-hmm. Success
that's what we're afraid of.
Yes.
Our fear. We have a fear mm-hmm. of our own greatness.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be great.
Yes.
What is the next new thing that you're going to encounter, the next new thing that you're going to explore? I remember watching a show years ago about people who came upon these awarenesses within themselves that they didn't know they had until later in life. And there was this woman in Harlem. She was a 60-some-odd-year-old black woman who in her 60s discovered that she was an artist.
Mm-hmm.
In her 60s. And her paintings immediately began to sell in the thousands immediately. How do you know what they're worth now? Imagine living all of her life not even knowing that she was a great artist. And in her 60s
mm-hmm.
began to sell paintings immediately in the thousands. Amazing
mm-hmm.
story. You know,
mm-hmm.
you hear things all the time, okay?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
you have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you. What name? Here's my question to all of you who are listening. Listen closely. You have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. What is the name of the thing that is bigger than the God that you serve? What is the name of the thing that's bigger than the God that you serve? Because
mm-hmm.
it is that particular fear that is stopping you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize that that fear is not bigger than the God that you serve, then there's nothing that you can't do.
No.
No. I set a goal for myself. Okay, there's a particular place that I've decided that I want to live, and
okay.
I need a whole lot of money to live there, a whole lot of money to live there. And when I say that I'm nowhere close, like, I'm like, I am no good. Okay. But I decide, I believe in dreaming really big dreams. I have to tell you. Because I serve a really big God.
Yes, you do.
You know? And I know that my Father in heaven has it all. And
yes.
I do feel right now that I'm in a very different spiritual place than I was even a month ago. There's something going on spiritually. So here's mm-hmm. what my daily prayer is. And I periodically say this often, and I want, you know, for those of you listening, write this down, because this is something that you really should pray for yourself. This is the coaching moment right here, okay? Pray this for yourself. Pray, Father, help me to understand and to more fully embrace the spiritual place that I am in. Okay? Help me to understand and more fully embrace the spiritual place that I am in. Often we are in, you know, we're all in a particular spiritual place, but we don't use our spiritual arsenal while we're here.
Right.
And a lot of times we are fighting the place that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
When all we have to do is live in it and walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're already here.
Right.
Help me to understand and more fully embrace the spiritual place that I am in. Here's the next prayer. Help me to prepare for the spiritual place to come.
Mm.
I'm not staying here.
All right.
Okay?
Right.
Now, here, I had a dream many years ago, and I used to, you know, from the time that I was a kid, you know, when, you know, I would have these dreams. You know, it took me a long time to begin to understand that the dreams that I was having were not the dreams that most people have. I didn't know that because it was all that I was used to, right?
Right.
And I never
right.
used to talk to people about my dreams because we just, it wasn't that I was hiding it. We just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
So I had nothing to compare my dreams to. And so I realized that not everybody dreams in color. I didn't know that. Only one mm-hmm. time in my life did I ever dream in black and white. My dreams are always in color. And
okay.
I often have dreams of there's an evil presence there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's trying to come at me or just there brooding, there's an evil presence there. And so
mm-hmm.
I had a particular dream one time. And it's often also that I have the same dream repetitive over and over in the night, often. And this one particular night, I kept having this dream that I was being chased by something evil. Now, typically, I was able to just go jump and fly and get away from it.
No, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Say that again?
I said, okay, yeah, jump and fly and get away from it.
Yeah, I used to be able to do that. I also
mm-hmm.
used to be able to turn invisible, and it could no longer see me or touch me.
Okay.
But this particular time, I was indoors, and I couldn't even fly, because normally that didn't matter. And I tried turning myself invisible, but this evil thing came right directly at me. It didn't touch me. But it was so close to my face, and it breathed on me, and I could feel its hot breath.
Okay.
And it was very angry because for whatever reason, it couldn't touch me, and then it walked past. And I remember waking up and saying to God, what was that? Why was he able to see me? What's going on here? And God said to me, new level, new devil, new rule.
Amen.
I'll never forget that. New,
amen.
New level.
New level.
Devil,
new
devil.
New rules.
Yes. You see, you can't be a baby all the time. The stuff that you used yesterday to protect yourself is not the stuff that you can use in your current level, nor is it the stuff that you will use in your next. Why? Because you are always growing in God. Because God is always
mm-hmm.
revealing himself to you. Because God is always revealing yourself to yourself. And so as
mm-hmm.
that happens, you are supposed to be growing stronger and stronger in him. So
yes.
where at one time I might have needed to have an invisibility cloak to protect myself from this evil entity, he is now saying, Kim, you are strong enough You know enough words that you can speak the words and cause this thing to leave you alone. You are strong enough to recognize that you are powerful enough to just touch this thing with your hand and it will run to the other side. New level, new devil, new rules. You have a different responsibility when you get to another level. You cannot teach people on the sixth grade level at the same way you teach people at the third grade level. New level, new devil, new rules.
DJ Frankie Vibe.
Hello? Yes.
Okay. Let me tell you. I got to gather myself for a minute. Because people weren't listening. I know. I went dead and Frankie started mixing all of this good work. And whenever you are trying to get the truth to the people, the devil
are
trying to stop you. So I always say on this show, hang on, I'm coming back. And we're going to keep doing this until she finishes. And that's what God is saying, what you do for God. You never give up. Never.
That's right. Never give up.
Okay. You never give up. So I'm back. Go ahead. I don't know where it cut off or anything. But I know,
the moment that I heard it, I knew that, you know, Satan does not want people to get the truth.
Yeah.
He doesn't want them to get it. And so he'll do anything that he can to get people to get distracted. Don't get distracted. Hold on for the word. Hold on for the word. All he has is the ability to mess with your mind. That's all he's got.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have anything else.
No.
He doesn't have anything else. So God says to me, new level, new devil, new rule. You cannot teach a sixth grader at the same level that you teach a third grader. You have to teach them at a different level. And so as you grow with God, the enemy is going to come at you at a different way. And here's what you have to remember. It doesn't matter how he comes at you. Jesus already defeated him.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it. What he's hoping is that you just remain fearful and forget that he's defeated. Because if you know that he's defeated, all you have to do is go to the Father, and the Father will operate through you to get him to leave you alone.
Yes.
The reason why we struggle is because we try to stop him in our own might.
Right.
That's what happened to Eve.
Yes.
To entertain him.
Yes. You know, the very
him. Just go to the Father. You know there's something wrong. Go to the, you have the spirit of truth within you. You know when something's wrong.
Yes.
Don't even entertain it. Don't try to figure out what's wrong about it. Just go to God. God, I don't know what's wrong with this. Reveal it to me and show me what I need to do to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Plain
mm-hmm.
and simple as that. Turn your back on it and just keep on moving. Keep on moving. Keep on moving.
And that's
then,
why we could
So the prayer for that was, help me to prepare for the spiritual place to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get to that next spiritual place, I don't know about you, but I could feel it when I'm in a different spiritual place.
Yes.
You know, I don't even know how to explain that to people. I just feel different. I feel lighter, and I feel more powerful. That's all I can say about it. I can't say anything more about it. I wish I could describe it more. But I'm hopeful that many people understand what it's like to feel like you are in a new spiritual place. And when you're in that new spiritual place, there are different tools available to you. You know, God has taken you a bit deeper behind the veil. See, I'm speaking Christianese for those of you to understand it, right?
Right.
We're going a little bit deeper behind the veil now.
Yes, you have.
He's given us new tools to use in this place. There are some tools that he can't give to us yet because we don't need them yet. We're not at that place yet. We're not mature enough yet for those tools. But there are some tools that are for us in the place that we are in. Use those tools. Help me to prepare for the spiritual place to come. And then the last thing that I pray, periodically I pray this for myself, help me to enjoy the journey.
Yes. Amen.
Some
Amen.
Of us are so serious that we can't have any fun. you know, you and I get together just cut the fool.
I know. Absolutely. Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy the journey. You know, even the process of the struggle. You know, I met a man once who was talking to me about his teenage son. His son at the time was 15, and this was several years back. Frankie was DJing somewhere, and we met some wonderful people, and they were gracious enough to bring us into their home to meet their whole family. They had a whole dinner and all this stuff. And there was this man who was talking about his son and his 16-year-old son's struggle between the church and his friends and, you know, that whole teenage struggle. And I forget what I said to him. And he said, but I'm excited to see the struggle.
Right.
It totally changed my perspective of things. Because where there's no struggle, there's no fight. Okay.
Amen.
We don't want people that don't have a fight because then they've given up. You want the fight. You want the struggle. Because the struggle is, here's what the struggle needs to be. Because I want people to understand. The struggle is not to fight Satan. The struggle is to figure out how to let the Holy Spirit use you. That's the struggle.
Yes, the struggle. Let them have the love.
That's the struggle. We fight the wrong fight.
We do.
Yeah. You know, we're so busy trying to come against all the darts that come at us. We forget we're not supposed to fight the darts.
No.
Struggle with God to know, how do I get you to use me? What do I need to do? Show me what part of me have I not surrendered yet?
Yes. One of the prayers that I pray is the Jabez prayer, which asks God to keep you out of the arena of the enemy. Which means I don't want to be bothered with the devil at all. Handle that for me. You got that over there? Yes, God. Yes, Jesus said amen. Amen. You got that. There's nothing I need to do but try to listen to the words he's telling me to get me through whatever he wants me to go through.
Yes.
And get to the next level. And graduate.
Absolutely.
I want to graduate to the next grade.
Say that again.
I said I want to graduate to the next grade. Let's see. I want to move to the next
Absolutely.
Level.
Absolutely. All the time. There's always more.
No, there's more. Yes. This is beyond doctrine, really. This is like, you know, a lifetime. And the Bible tells you that you will not know all there is for you to know before Christ comes back. You won't. It's impossible.
That's right.
That lets you know just how much is in store for you to get your hands into and to learn and grow and to move and to prosper and to then feeling that you cannot, a peace that surpasses all understanding. I can't tell you how it is. It's something you have to get for yourself.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm glad that you talked a little bit about, you know, how to prosper, because that's really how I want to close this out, is that, you know, I was saying that I have this desire, I've set this goal about this place that I want to live, and I have all this money that I need to have. I need to acquire a certain amount of wealth. And so I began to think about, you know, wait a minute. I have to tell you, I had a moment where I just felt like, you know what? But that money is right here and available. Like, I could have that tomorrow. Like, this is nothing. I can get there. You know? Because I'm in a different spiritual place. And here's the other thing about when you're in a different spiritual place. This is the reason why. Here, for those of you who are not receptive to going to a different spiritual level because you're comfortable, here is the reason why you want to go to another spiritual level. Because the higher your spiritual level, the more of God's blessings that are readily available to you. You will grow in your levels of maturity, and God can give you what that level of maturity offers. It is no different than your children. You don't buy a car for your two-year-old. You don't buy a house for your five-year-old.
Yes,
so when
yes,
your child
yes.
is 17, you might buy them a vehicle, okay?
Yes.
You may not buy them. You may not buy them a Benz, even though you can. But maybe when you're 25, you might buy them a Benz. You see what I'm saying? There are different blessings at different levels of maturity. The same thing in the realm of the spirit. There are different things available to you in the realm of the spirit. And so that very thing that you are hoping for is waiting for you at another level of maturity.
Amen.
Okay. So I thought about how I could create some more wealth. And I remember Deuteronomy 8 in 15, 16, somewhere around there, it says that God gave me the power to get the wealth. And I believe that, and I believe that in all ways. I can get wealth in my body, mind, and spirit. So I decided, wait a minute, God operates in the world. God operates with people. Other people have acquired this information. Wait, I'm just going to Google, just because I want to see what it says, how to make $1 million. How do you get $1 million? I just wanted to see if it was out there. You know, you can Google anything.
You can Google and you do.
You can Google.
Yes.
But here's the thing. I Googled it. And here's the thing about learning some things, but I have to say this quickly, is that it's not that I'm going to go and do necessarily those things, but it gives you the confidence because you recognize that it is doable.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes with us, even though we know that God can do all things, you have to come into a belief and an understanding, not just a hope, that he can do it through you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So I Googled, how is it that I can gain $1 million. And so here are some of the things that came up. They said, self-publish a book on Kindle, right? And they said, if you sold a book for $2 and you sold about 720 books, you get to keep 70% profit, you'll have $1 million. Now, $2 is really low. Okay?
It's very low.
1,000 books may sound like a lot, but when you know that there are billions and billions of people on the planet, it's doable.
It's doable.
And if you only sold to a quarter of that number, that's $250,000 in your bank account. I am not mad at that.
No, I can take
right?
it.
I'm not mad at that. It said sell 477,000 apps in the App Store. Okay, with the average price of an app being about $2, $2.99, again, you keep 70%, and then you can make $1 million. There's also websites that show you how you can use your car, you can rent your own car out for people like me who live in a city and you don't drive a lot.
Yeah, I heard about that.
You can actually rent your car out. There's a website called Get Around. And there's a few other websites that do it, too. But it says rent your car for 8,000 days, right? You get 40% commission at an average cost of $8 an hour, and you'll have $1 million. I mean, it's just crazy, right? Wow. They said, sell yourself 250,000 ways on Fiverr. Now, Fiverr is a way to get jobs or gigs, as they say, okay?
Uh-huh.
Everything on it costs $5, and for every $5 gig, you keep $4.
All right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. Now, imagine if you did a few of these things. You'd have some money in no time.
Exactly.
So the question I have for you, you know, and then they talked about if you're a person who tweets a lot, get your tweet sponsored. Right? I mean, it's just crazy, just online, how you can do that. You can get your tweet sponsored, get people to hit your site. I also found a website a long time ago where people just bought a website and they had other people buy space, advertising space on the website, and it cost like $1 to $5, and they made $1 million.
You know,
it's
the
just crazy when you think about it. So my thing is, you know, these ideas are the things that come from God.
Mm-hmm.
You spend time with God, He's going to give you a plan, and trust me, when there's a desire in your heart, He's going to help you get to where you're going, as long as you keep looking to what's next. It's fine to enjoy where you are, but you always have to look to what's next. And the next best thing in your life, the greatest thing, is in that next level in your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. It's like having a birthday over and over and over again. It really is.
That's right.
It is. Oh, my. Minister Horvath. This was an empowering segment. Yeah, it was just so powerful. You were on fire, and I hope that everyone who is listening will tell someone else to listen to this particular segment, what's next, because it includes some valuable information, and we don't want to miss out. Let them know where they can reach you at.
You know you can always reach me on the Journey Home Ministries website.
Yes.
Check me out there. You can reach me on Facebook, Kimberly Cooper Horvath on Facebook. I do have a page there called Ignite the Spirit. You need to check that out. So it's the coach you post on there on a regular basis, along with myself and Deacon Frankie Vod. So make sure that you check out the Ignite the Spirit webpage. It is a very positive page. So you can go there for some inspiration. And, of course, you can always email me. I do have an email address at the Journey Home Ministries site. I don't know it by heart. Do you know it? I know you know.
Yes, I know by heart. I know. It's KHorvath@journeyhomeministries.org. You can email any questions that you have to that email address. You can do your sister Pucci and it'll take you there.
That's so funny.
Yes, this is an on-site episode. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. We don't do mixes on the web. We're going to sign out the way we always sign out. That's how great thou art. And we will see you back again October the 26th. Don't forget, October the 19th is Bible study. You need to know the words so you can understand the things that Minister Horvath has told you today. All right, everyone, peace and blessings. And here is how great thou art.